Our first reading for this evening is from the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy. When you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when you draw near to the battle, the priest shall come forward and speak to the people and shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you the victory." Then the officers shall speak to the people, saying, "Is there any man who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go back to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And is there any man who has planted a vineyard and has not enjoyed its fruit? Let him go back to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man enjoy its fruit. And is there any man who has betrothed a wife and has not taken her? Let him go back to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her." And the officer shall speak further to the people and say, "Is there any man who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go back to his house, lest he make the heart of his fellows melt like his own." And when the officers have finished speaking to the people, then commanders shall be appointed at the head of the people. When you draw near to a city to fight against it, offer terms of peace to it. And if it responds to you peaceably and it opens to you, then all the people who are found in it shall do forced labor for you and shall serve you. But if it makes no peace with you, but makes war against you, then you shall besiege it. And when the Lord your God gives it into your hand, you shall put all its males to the sword. But the women and the little ones, the livestock and everything else in the city, all its spoil, you shall take as plunder for yourselves. And you shall enjoy the spoil of your enemies, which the Lord your God has given you. Thus you shall do to all the cities that are very far from you, which are not cities of the nations here, but in the cities of these peoples that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. You shall save alive nothing that breathes, but you shall devote them to complete destruction. The Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord your God has commanded, that they may not teach you to do according to all their abominable practices that they have done for their gods. And so you sin against the Lord your God. When you besiege a city for a long time, making war against it in order to take it, you shall not destroy its trees by wielding an axe against them. You may eat from them, but you shall not cut them down. Are the trees in the field human, that they should be besieged by you? Only the trees that you know are not trees for food, you may destroy and cut down, that you may build siege works against the city that makes war with you until it falls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from the 15th chapter of Matthew. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them, so that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. And the disciples said to him, Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? And Jesus said to them, How many loaves do you have? They said, 7, and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. This is the word of the Lord. We continue our recitation of the Ten Commandments with the second. What is the second commandment? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. One great thing about the way Luther has written the meaning to the Ten Commandments is that they always are structured the same way. The commandments will always start in the meaning with the negative, meaning these are the things you do not do with this commandment. And this commandment, it's misusing the name of the Lord your God. And we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name. Those are the things we don't do with this commandment. But then in the meaning, Luther always adds a positive to it, meaning these are the ways the commandment can be lived in our lives. And it's a wonderful thing when it does. So, for instance, the positive with not misusing the name of the Lord your God, meaning use it rightly, is this, that you're to call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. And that should give all of us a great deal of confidence that we can and should call upon the name of the Lord our God in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks, especially trouble. Because we have great confidence knowing that our God is for us. That our God loves us and cares for us. After all, he sent his only begotten Son to die for us, right? So of course he wants us to call upon him. To call upon that name of Jesus especially. In every trouble, pray, praise, and to give thanks. And that's exactly what we saw today in both of our readings. In our Old Testament reading, we had this wonderful example of the Israelites being prepared to go in and overthrow some of the absolutely terrible people that were living in this part of the world at that time. And we might, if we're sensitive, become offended that God would order the Israelites to go and basically ransack these cities. But remember what these peoples in these cities were doing and what they were doing in the name of their God and for their God. They were doing, as God said here, abominable practices that they have done for their gods. You do not do those. God wanted those things wiped off the face of the earth. We talked about that last week, the murdering of their own children to the god Molech, a statue. They would lay their babies and their small children in his hands as they were literally burned alive. Those are the people that the Israelites were ordered by God to go and basically take out, remove. But even doing so, they had that word from God that they would be successful, okay? So imagine you're an Israelite going up to a city, and you have the word of the Lord that you will be successful. This city will fall to your hands. You will win it. And yet, they get scared. Here's what's spoken in Deuteronomy at the beginning. When you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them, For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. The Israelites weren't fools. They go up, they're literally just walking up with sandals and maybe a spear and a club. They were not a great mighty people. Okay, they did not have a lot of technological advancements. There wasn't much to them. And when they go up and they see armies that are much larger than theirs, and they have chariots, and they have horses with spearmen on it, they're no fools. They're scared. They'll become afraid. And why? Because they're doubting in the word that the Lord spoke to them. As our sinful nature often does, it doubts. It doesn't believe. And instead, as God spoke to them, because God also is no fool, he realized his people, even though they had his good word, he knew they'd be afraid. He had the priests go forward and to say this to the people. Hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you the victory. They had to be reminded of the second commandment. They had to be reminded who the name of their Lord, their God, was and the word that their God spoke. They had to be reminded to call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. And especially during trouble. Because God can be trusted. God is trustworthy. He doesn't fail us. Even in the face of a mighty and great army like the Israelites we're facing. And then in our New Testament reading, we ran across the very famous Canaanite woman. A woman of great faith, as Jesus said. And in her story, she did believe in the name of the Lord your God, second commandment. And she literally was calling upon that name. In every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. And she had trouble. Her daughter was demon-possessed. So the scriptures say she came crying before Jesus and the disciples. Why? Because she was calling upon the name of the Lord our God in every trouble. Pray, praise, and give thanks. And even after the disciples ignored her, as she came crying after her, she still stayed with it. Because she knew this is my God, and I'm going to call upon in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Even when Jesus told her, I've come only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That didn't stop her, did it? Because she had great faith. She believed in the name of her God, and she was coming to him no matter what. In every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. And even after Jesus said to her, it's not right to toss the children's bread and give it to dogs. Even after she was called a dog, that didn't stop her. Because she knew it was her Lord, her God, was the only one who could help her. And nothing was going to stop her from calling out to her God in every trouble, pray, praise, and to give thanks. You see, so often in our lives, we're like that Canaanite woman. Seems like everything's going up against us. Every doorway we try to walk through gets a door slammed in our face. But our God is always faithful to us. And it's because of his faithfulness to us that allows us to always call out to him in every trouble, every pray, every praise we want to give, every time we want to just thank him for anything. And just like in that Old Testament reading, we also find ourselves sometimes going down paths that are unknown. Futures that are uncertain. And sometimes things loom up in front of us in life that look massive, overwhelming. That's the nature of our lives, isn't it, as Christians? Because our greatest enemy, death, is the one that's looming most over us. Just like the Israelites, they were afraid of this great, mighty army in front of them with chariot horses, bigger army than their own. Death. And even in the face of death, they were encouraged to look to their God and to call out to Him. In every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks, because He will conquer even death, right? Thankfully, we have that benefit of where we live now in the year 2020 of being able to look back and see how our God has conquered that greatest enemy, death itself, through the resurrection of Christ. The Israelites hadn't seen that yet, but you have. You know what was the final plan of our God. And because of that, it truly does allow us to always call out to Him in every trouble, every prayer, and always giving thanks to Him. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.